I was really overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. We were singing, I Exalt Thee. I didn't mean to dictate to you guys to tell you, like, raise your hands, but as I was worshiping, I just had this vision of Jesus is standing there, and he literally, like, turns to the Father and says, I'll go. And he took off his crown, and he put it on the chair, and he walked to go down to earth. And then I had a vision of him on the cross, just being stretched out, as we were seeing that, you know, arm stretched wide. It all started building from that song, and I just had this vision of Christ. He's just stretched out, bloody and beaten and crushed for you and I. And in the throne room, the angels cover themselves up in the wings because of the light, his glorious light. And he's holy. And they worship him and they have their hands. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. And that's why I felt led to tell you, stop. Put down your own agenda. You have to surrender. Lift your hands up and worship him. He's the King. He died for you and I. Oh, and it overwhelmed me. And I pray that you have that experience sometime where the Holy Spirit, when you just yield and the Holy Spirit just takes control of you, that's what he wants. He wants to dictate to your life, not you dictate to him how you live. Surrender to him. This has nothing to do with my sermon. I just... Preach it. I have to share. I have to be true to my heart, and I have to share with you. I think that's how we all grow. If we're honest and true to the end. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, have your will in your way right now. Use me, Father. Speak through me. Let your words be heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The sermon that I had for you, I spent the better part of 4 hours last night going through notes and typing stuff up and reading over and over again. And we talked about being steadfast till the end, and the Lord started dealing with me earlier in the week on these words. And the opening text I want to use is actually in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13. And I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. And that scripture, because I told you where we're going with this, is spiritual warfare. This is war. So, you know, and I'm not doing that at this point. I'm setting the stage is where I feel the Lord has directed me to do that. And in chapter 16, verse 13, in the New Living Translation, it says, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And the title of the sermon is Be Courageous and Strong in the Lord. And I think about the definition of strong and courageous, and I looked it up in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. And strong is having or marked by great physical power, having moral, intellectual power, having great resources of a specified number, not mild or weak, not easily injured, disturbed, or well established. And courage was mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. I thought those were okay definitions. Just okay. When you actually go in, I looked up and I translated the two words in Greek. They're that much more involved. And I don't want to read that yet, but I want to set the stage as to strength and courage. And we're going to be in the Old Testament, actually. And I haven't taught a lot from the Old Testament up to this point, so it was really getting into it was kind of like a breath of fresh air, different from the New Testament. And I was looking at it, and I was reading it, and then all the Old Testament has all these promises of what's to come. And in Numbers chapter 13. Go ahead and turn over there, and we're going to be reading through So I want to set the stage here. So Israel has just left Egypt. God delivered them. He promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. Actually, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8, don't turn there. He said, "Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto the fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and give unto them and to their seed after them." So let's read. Let's see where we pick up. In chapter 13, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." So they've left Egypt. They saw the Red Sea parted. They're in the wilderness. And he's about to set men out to spy on the land that they're about to possess. And these were their names: of the tribe of Reuben, Shammah, the son of Zachar; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, remember that name, the son of Jephunneh. And I might be saying these words wrong, I'm sorry. Of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu. Of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodai. Of the tribe of Joseph, namely, of the tribe of Manasseh, Gedai, the son of Susi. Of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamaliel. Of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael. Of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Voshi. And of the tribe of Gad, Gul, the son of Machai. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua, which is Joshua. So we have Joshua and Caleb. I want you to remember those names. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, "Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities that they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage." Gives them a charge there. "Be you of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes, so the season in which a harvest is being ready to be had. "So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rahab, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, and where Ahiman and Sheshani and Tamai, the children of Anak, were." Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. "And they came unto the brook of Eshel, and they cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bore it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs." So they cut down, as they were charged to, this fruit to show that land flowing of milk and honey, that it was bountiful. That was what that's why he sent them out, and then to spy on the land. Remember, this is a land that was promised to them. "The place was called the brook because Eshel, because of the cluster of grapes which children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land 40 days. And they went, came Moses and to Aaron, and to all the congregation." So not just to Moses and Aaron, but to the congregation with the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. So they showed them, look at the fruit. This is awesome. The promised land, great fruit. It's bountiful. It's bountiful. "And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sendest, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. So they tell them about this fruit and the flowing honey, and all of a sudden they start to backtrack. And they start saying how great these people were and how strong their strongholds were. And they're basically setting fear upon the camp. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. They're stirring the pot up right now. They're stirring the pot up into the people of Israel. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Stilled. What have we been talking about? Being steadfast. He was an immovable object. He stilled the people. He said, hey! Focus. And he said, let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. See, he had courage. And he had strength to be able to say those things. So you have the other men stirring the pot, producing fear in a camp. But a man who obeyed the Lord said, be still. Let's go and possess that land right now. But the men that went up with them, we will not... Here we go again. So he just stilled them, and now the men, the other spies, the other ten, said, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw it are men of great stature. Tall, like Steve. Bunch of Steves. Big, mighty men. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. And so, bring this into reality of yourself. When the Lord gives you his promises and things don't look like the way they should be going, what voice are you hearing? Are you hearing the one that is saying, be still, be courageous and strong? Or are you surrendering to fear and to deception and lies of saying, hey, Lord's not with you. Those promises aren't real. Those aren't for you. This Bible says they are. So what? How did Israel respond? Let's keep on. In verse 14, or chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They wept. They cried because fear entered their hearts. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. They murmured. They started talking behind their back. These leaders, their leaders, the men who saw them out of Egypt with God as their director. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Question? They're questioning God. They're questioning. And they said unto another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. They actually made a choice. They listened to fear. They listened. Think about it. We listened to Satan. And what do? They want to return back to bondage. They want to go back to where it was, under Pharaoh's whip. When you live in fear, do you surrender? Do you turn back to your old nature, your old life? Remember, this is tied to being steadfast. And this is an example. Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. And you guys are probably thinking, that wouldn't be me. Definitely not. How many times have you found yourself going back? We're all guilty. We've had those moments. And I'm sharing this with you to remind you to be courageous and have strength in the Lord, because the days are getting short. Time is drawing near. Persecution and suffering will come to those who remain steady. We were talking about this yesterday in the men's study, and we talked about what the White House just gave direction on with high school, with transgender bathrooms, and just the crumbling and decay of this society, of this once great nation who feared and loved the Lord. And they turn their back and we start making concessions. Be immovable, be steadfast in your faith. It doesn't matter what comes, what government tells you, you remain steadfast to this word and to this faith. Be courageous, be a soldier of Christ. Do not waver. The political ties will move like weeds, like chaff in the wind, trying to sway you, deceive you, have you cower down to return back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and the Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They couldn't believe it. They rent their clothes. It was a sign of like, oh, I can't believe this. I can't believe you just said you want to go back to Egypt where you were in bondage. Oh, you of little faith, you forget. Think about what they saw. They saw the plagues where God sent the plagues. They saw the Passover with the blood. It's like it's a vision of the cross in Christ. The blood was put over the doorposts. They survived that. They took the wealth of Egypt. They passed through the Red Sea where a pillar of fire stayed Pharaoh's army. They make it to the other side and they see Pharaoh's army consumed. Think about those miracles that they saw. Yet they want to go back? They want to go back? How does that make sense? And when we're talking about Israel, think about yourself. Think about yourself and put it into perspective of yourself. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search, it is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Hallelujah. Again, faith. Faith in our Lord. Doesn't matter what comes our way. Remember, we had those examples of Peter and John. They were praying. Remember? They were told not to. They were sharing the gospel and they were told not to. They were being courageous and strong in the Lord. And so they say, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us. He will give us this land. And they're warning Israel, only rebel not you against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. That means to you, child of God, fear not what comes your way. The Lord is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. There's a scripture that talks about when you don't know what to say, the Spirit of God will give you utterance when you stand before the officials. Not you, the Holy Spirit. But all the congregation bade stone with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, this is the Lord speaking unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shown among them? This is God questioning Moses. What is with these people? What else do I need to do for them to trust me? Think about us today. Maybe Jesus is saying the same thing. What else do I need to do to have you trust in me? I gave my life as a ransom for you. Yet you give so little. You trust with little. It's okay. I do my 1 hour of service on Sunday morning. When's the last time you had actually fell on your face in worship? In your prayer closet, at home. You don't have to do it before others. Do you know how powerful and how majestic he is? Be reminded of that. For all the signs which I have shown among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Wow. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people and they might from among them. And they will tell it for the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that they cloud standeth over them, that then goeth out before them by a day time in a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire by night. That cloud led them, directed them, the glory cloud. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people in the land which he swore unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. Wow. Now I beseech ye, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. That's a promise. The earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. That time is coming. We read that yesterday. We were talking about the kingdom of God, and we were talking about the separation. When the parable, he talks about he casts his net and he separates. You guys can actually turn there. I don't want to get off topic, but I just want to. That's what I was talking about. The Old Testament being a prophetic. Book or books. Again, it says in Matthew 20 or 13, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. All the wicked, all the evil is going to be put away and the glory of the Lord is going to fill the earth, the new heaven, the new earth. He's going to reign. Hallelujah. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, we're back in chapter 14, in verse 22, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. How many warnings? He's giving warnings. You didn't listen to my voice 10 times? Surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers. Now shall any of them that provoke me see it. So he just said it right there. He said, you didn't obey me. You doubted me. And now you will pay the price. You will not see the promised land. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit. So we're talking about he had another spirit. What did the children of Israel have? They had a spirit of fear and of doubt. But Caleb had another spirit, one of courage, one of strength in the Lord, one of faith in him, one of trust in him, and hath followed me fully. fully. Think about that. He followed me fully, not half, not three quarters of the way. We were singing that song, I Surrender. It doesn't mean I surrender everything, but a couple things. I'm not ready to give that up yet. That's for someone here. You're holding on to something. You haven't fully surrendered. Examine your heart. Him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. So he gave that promise to Caleb. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. So he sent them back into the wilderness. So they saw the promised land. They had to be like super close to the promised land. He told them, go back in the wilderness. Go back. You're not ready. You're not ready for it. You're not ready for the promised land. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole numbers, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. So anybody over 20 would not see the promised land. Except for, I don't know the age of Caleb here, but you know Caleb was had that promise. So is Joshua. Doubtless you shall not come into land concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, save Caleb and Joshua. There it is. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. I wonder, you know, the little ones. And we just watched Olivia and Sean, the little ones of faith. They had they didn't have any inhibitions. They learned scripture and they're just praising the Lord. They were worshiping the Lord. No inhibition, no concern about others. That's the childlike faith. You know, as we get older, we start to be concerned about what others think. We should be concerned about what the Lord thinks. I'm sorry if I'm reading all this through, but I think it's good to read the word of the Lord. And that's all of it, not just New Testament. We want to read the Old Testament too. Some of you may have never even read these passages before. There's so much meat in here. But your little ones, let's see. But as for you, your carcasses, they're going to fall in the wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear you whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Wow. Whew. After the number of days in which you've searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year. That's prophetic. As you read later on in all the other books, as you're talking about prophecy, we start talking a little bit about Revelation. I mean, we covered a lot in the men's study yesterday. But a day, 40 days, so each day for a year, shall you bear for iniquities? Even 40 years, you shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered today against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And I think we'll want to, I'll just end it there. I don't want to keep going, but as we keep reading on, basically the children of Israel try to still move forward. They see the promised land off, and the Canaanites come in, and the Amalekites, and they actually slaughter a bunch of them. And so they go back to the wilderness. And so I want to pick it up now. So you have Caleb and Joshua. These men who saw the good of the land and had trust in him, and they said, let's go and possess it, and then people doubted. And so now all those people are going to be gone. They're going to pass away. And I wanted to say that no matter how things may look, or if we do not know what to do in a situation, we always can have courage. Because we can trust in the Lord's promises. Amen. It doesn't matter how grim a situation looks. Trust in the Lord. It doesn't matter how grim the situation looks. I'm going to say it again. Trust in the Lord. Man's logic can't comprehend things. I shared that Ecclesiastes. scripture with you. It ties together with this. We don't even know how the bones are created in a womb, let's know the God's activity. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so I want to pick it up in Joshua. Wow. Really. Maybe this has become a series too. I don't know. I want to pick it up in Joshua chapter 1. And the entire book of Joshua, and that's why I wanted to share these with you, but the entire book of Joshua, Israel's military conquest of Canaan actually symbolizes the spiritual warfare of Christians against godlessness. And their settlement among the remaining Canaanite people as they symbolize the hazards that Christians face in the midst of a hostile world. And so we pick it up as Moses actually passes away in chapter 1. Verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Because Moses didn't get to see he didn't get to go to the promised land either, just so you guys know. He smote the rock, which he disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord said, you will not see the promised land. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, and unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. That's some encouragement. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man, listen to this, How is that for encouragement? There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That is reminded of in the New Testament. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. And so we pick up in verse 6, and it pops up several times in this chapter, and that's why I wanted to read it. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Joshua is telling the people, now is the time. Be strong. Be of good courage. And I gave you the definitions earlier, but I want you to hear it now in the Greek. You hear me? Be strong and of good courage. Strong is kozak, to fasten upon, hence to seize. Be strong, figuratively, courageous, casualty strengthened, cure, help, repair, fortify, obstinate, to bind, restrain, conquer, aid, amend, catch, cleave, confirm, be constant, constrain, continue, be of good courage. Encourage, be established, fasten, force, fortify, make hard, harden, help, hold fast, lean, maintain, play the man. Actually, in the King James, if you read the opening text, it says, play the man, act like a man, I think is what it says. Mend, become mighty, prevail, be recovered, repair, retain, seize, strengthen self, be stout. Be make, shoe, wax, stronger, be sure, take hold, be urgent, behave self-valiantly, withstand. Wow, that is a mouthful. But what a difference. Think about that word, strong, and then I just gave you, like, in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, I just gave, like, 12 little points. There's like 40 different descriptions there of being strong. And that's what Joshua is telling them. He used all of that there, and he said, be strong, and then just add, go back, you'll have to listen to the sermon online, because I'm not going to repeat them all, but be strong, and then take all of those and insert them. He's telling them, now be courage, be courageous, be courage, and of good courage. And courage, aumets, is how the word said in Greek, to be alert, physically on foot or mentally, to confirm. Be courageous, of good courage, steadfastly minded. Strong, stronger, establish, fortify, harden, increase, prevail, to strengthen self and make strong. Not as long, but they're tied together, aren't they? You see how they really kind of mirror each other. And it all goes back to being steadfast too. So be strong and of good courage. Be steadfast. Don't go back to Egypt. Press on. The Lord's promised you things. Press on. I think I'm going to end it there. We'll pick it up in Joshua next week. Was this good? You guys like that?
Yeah.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for your words. I thank you for the reassurance, the encouragement that you give us, Father, to live our day, our lives daily in you. Help us to be courageous this week, Lord, to not put you under a bushel, to let our light shine. Help us to be together, unified as one body, praying for one another, encouraging one another, that we do not waver, that we be strong in you, not in our own might, but in you. Be with us as we go our way. Help us to say the right things, to do the right things in you, to glorify you, that we have eternal significance in all of our actions, Father, this week. Be with us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.